Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 222. It's the week of February 15th, 2016. And I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, Center of the Universe. And I've got a... I think I got a pretty good show this week. If you're a returning listener, I really appreciate you coming back, downloading the show again. If you're a new listener, welcome. This is a podcast about all things running. I've always said that the only thing that's more, for me, the only thing that's more fun than running is talking about it. So this podcast is mainly about running. Sometimes I go off on tangents on some other things, especially my hatred of glitter, which you can go back a few episodes. Just don't understand what the whole thing with glitter is all about. And then I'll go on some other, sometimes I go on some political tangents, but not really too much because it's not really a political podcast. It's really all about running. And I'm really just an ordinary, nobody, middle-of-the-pack runner. And so nobody really even knows when I'm at races, which is great because I'm sometimes more of back of the pack. But I do have something fun to kind of report on is that I actually, I won a 50K last week. Because I was the only participant in it. It was a kind of a homemade 50K. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I am training for a 50-mile ultramarathon that's coming up on March 5th, just a few weeks away. And that is the called the Mississippi Trail 50. God, I can't speak. Mississippi Trail 50, which is in Laurel, Mississippi, which is near Hattiesburg, which is where I have some relatives. So I'll be headed down there. And it's a trail ultra, which I'm not totally excited about. I'm excited about the distance, not the course. I'm not primarily a trail runner. However, over the last couple weeks, I have enjoyed it because I've been doing some training on some trails here in a county park that we have. So I'm going to go over that. Also, this past Saturday, I did a 26-mile training run, and I didn't decide to go, you know, extra point two because it didn't have any meaning. And when I get down to that in the stack of stuff here, I'll talk about how meaningless the 26.2 distance is in an ultra marathon because it has very little meaning because there's no finish line. Nothing magical happens at 26.2 miles when you're doing an ultra. So I had a really great couple weeks of training. I'm really on a big high right now. I think my biorhythms are up. And if I can just maybe cycle down and then cycle back up by March 5th, I think I'll really be in good shape. I got a couple emails for the email bag section of the show, so we'll get to that. Just a few this week. I might have more than two. I've got from longtime listeners, Patrick and Adam. So I'll get to those towards the end of the show. And all right, let me talk a little bit about the homemade 50K. This took place back on, when did I do this? Oh, I did this on my wife's birthday, which was February 6th. And kind of ironic that I picked the day on my wife's birthday, which, you know, is supposed to be about her. And it turns out most of the morning was all about me. But we did end up going out to a comedy club that night and had a great time. But I got 31 miles. It was amazing. It was a bit of redemption from the DNF back on January 10th, which was supposed to be really the 50K training run. If you've never done a 50-mile ultramarathon before, it's not really a have-to that you got to get in a 50K, but it's really good, and at least from my perspective, to get some training runs that are up past that marathon distance or right at it. And so the program that I was following recommends a 50K in there somewhere, supported event. So if you can time it just right, you can find a 50K event kind of in that training cycle that has support, meaning aid, water stops or whatever, and that way you don't have to carry all your stuff yourself. And that was my plan back on January 10th, was to do the Willis River 50K, which was a fat-ass event, but I walked off the course at 20 miles because it was just, that's back a couple episodes back called Happy DNF. So this was a little bit of redemption, and now it took me a long time to cover the distance because I was not, it wasn't a hard effort at all. It was really just a matter of race day planning, early fueling. And I'll talk about the value of honey buns because And I was actually talking to exchanging messages with somebody that listens to the show, and that person didn't even know what a honey bun was. So I'll explain what a honey bun is and talk a little bit about how the iPhone doesn't work again in the cold, which was really frustrating. And I can't really read my, I got a whole stack of stuff here, but I can't read my notes, which is not surprising. Okay, a bit of redemption from January 10th. So when I went out on January 6th, again, not the ideal day because it was my wife's birthday. I got up, I think I got going at 6 in the morning. And of course, I, you know, set up her birthday card and stuff on the table so she'd see it when she came down. And started at 6 a.m. And I finished about 12:25, 12:24, something like that. So it was about a almost a 6.5 hour effort. Which, when I look back at some of my 50K times, because I've done a handful of those, that's kind of that's about average for what I do in a 50K. I've broken 6 hours once or twice in the Charlotte Ultra, which is a 50K. That race has been discontinued, which is a shame because I liked it, and that's where I met, or kind of half met, Thomas Mueller, who writes into the show and lives down in North Carolina. I know that, Thomas, if that race was still going, I'd probably run into you there again, because I really liked it, and I've got a friend that lives down in Charlotte, and so I'd run the race, and then I'd go stay with him and his family that night, and then drive back the next day, which historically, when that race was held, unfortunately, it's been discontinued. It was always Super Bowl weekend, so I would be driving back Sunday morning after running a 50K the day before, driving back 5 hours in the car the next day, which was just brutal. I mean, you know, you take a beating running a 50K, and then you get in the car the next day, I always vomited after that race too, and that actually happened to me after I ran this 31-mile training one. So, geez, I think I've got that in my stack of stuff here. Not the vomit itself, but a reference to it. So, all right, let me get back to my time. So, started at 6 a.m. The plan was to break it down, and I was pretty much doing it all myself, with the exception of some people joining me here and there in different sections. So I was breaking it down in 5 mile goals. I did 2 5-mile loops through town where I could swing past my car, because we park up at this coffee shop that's not even a half mile from the house. But it's the reason I drive up there is because it's nice. Generally, when I wasn't doing the really long stuff, I would meet my running buddies up there, Ashlyn Bob, Ashlyn Tom, Ashlyn Brian. We would meet there, have coffee and a bagel or something, and then it's nice to have the car right there to drive home after you, you know, been sitting there after you run. So I had fuel in the car. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are golden. I've always found that those work really well. And what I did, and it's kind of weird to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at 7 in the morning, but I started, you know, refueling or eating right after the first 5 miles. And I have learned to eat often. Eat early and often, just like walking. Take your walk breaks. Walk early and walk often. I've always found that to be good advice, and that's what I did this day. I started, you know, really early with the eating. So that plan was to break it down into 5 mile sections, where I would do 2 5-mile loops through town. Then I would take the 5 miles out to a county park. It's called Poor Farm Park. There's nothing poor about it. It's a real nice county park. That's just the area where it used to be. There was a farm out there that was called Poor Farm way back in history, I believe. I can take kind of a back way out to that, and that's basically 5 miles out there to a spot where my wife Monica was going to bring some more supplies out there, a bin of you know, food, a choice of stuff. I packed a bin that I set right in front of the front door, or inside the front door, so she would not forget to carry that out there when she was going to meet me out there on the trails at 8 o'clock, and she was going to bring some of her girlfriends out there. So the 2 5-mile loops in town, the 5 miles out to the park, the plan, so that's 15. The plan was to run 5 miles in the park, so that's 20. And then the plan was to run the 5 miles back into town. And there, I was going to take a little different route, which was going to add about a mile. So that way, when I got back into town, I just had that 5 mile loop for 31 miles. And it worked out really good. It helped tremendous, just mentally, it really, really worked to break that run down. Because I essentially was, you know, by myself for the majority of the run. Lots of help along the way. And I had support through people that listened to the podcast. I just can't remember everybody at the moment. You know, exchanging emails, people, that, and I really do appreciate that. And I had Tracy, who's Ashley and Bob's wife, meet me out there at 8 o'clock at the park, and then also one of my wife's good friends, Joanne. She also met out there. So there was four of us running on the trails out at Poor Farm Park. And these trails are, you know, they have the routes. It's very terrain. It's a really good place to mountain bike. And that's really what people use this park for. There's no mountain bikers out there that early because it was so cold. But it was really cool that to have those people meet me out there, and especially for that, the rugged trail section. And there's really you know, after running 15 miles on the road and then you go run those trails, you know, you're not going to pick your feet up high enough to clear roots, you know. And before you know it, you know, you're right there on the deck. And I went down pretty hard. I was able to roll out of it, and I knew for certain I'd be sore the next day, but fortunately I was not. And then Joanne went down pretty hard too. And I couldn't help, I really started laughing at her. And I was trying to tell her I wasn't laughing. I should rephrase it. I was laughing with her because she started laughing. She went down pretty hard too. And the reason I was laughing so much is because I just know how when you're running on trails and all it takes is that one little time that you don't pick your foot up high enough and you hit that root, and the next thing you know, you're face down on the ground. And you don't even realize what happened. And sometimes you can catch yourself, but most of the time you don't. So what I like to do is I like to, and I've said this before, I like to do the Map My Run app because I like how it breaks down your splits into a kind of a bar graph, whereas the Garmin is just so small, I can't see the numbers without my glasses, but I can see the Map My Run app. So I've started running with my phone. I have a little pouch that I can carry it in because I like looking at the Map My Run, the way it breaks down your splits. And I've always thought that they're not tremendously accurate because I feel like the Map My Run app makes things kind of short, but it does kind of, regardless of what it thinks the distance is, it does accurately show where your run miles quicker and longer. So I like to look at it for that reason. But the iPhone battery, because it was so cold out, you know, we're talking 20, it was 20 degrees, was just really, didn't make it. So the phone kept cutting off. And so once I just kind of let go of not having that feedback, I was just worried at that point. I was just worried about making sure the phone didn't break if I fell. But I would have preferred that. So I get finished the running at the park. You know, refuel. When I say refuel, man, I these honey buns. I'm not really sure where I picked up on that. I remember the first time I ever tried that was several years ago when I was doing a point to point. I think I was training for my first when I was doing that 40 miler back in 2009, when I was training for that, I did a 26, 27 mile training run from my house down into South Richmond. And the plan was just to carry my debit card and then hit, I had already mapped out my route. I could go by convenience stores. And I think I went by one and I just had a craving for a honey bun. And I remember how much that replenished me for running. I mean, I know they're not healthy, but when you're running, you're not eating vegetables when you're running. You know what I mean? It doesn't do anything for you. And fruit really doesn't do. What you're looking for is stuff, fuel you can burn when you need that lift. And most honey buns are close to 100 grams of carbs, half of that being sugar carbs. But the other half is, so you burn that quick, and then the other stuff will sit there. And I just found that to be really that thing to do when you get these long distances, because it's kind of that solid food that your stomach needs to just kind of to eat away at. And I found that to be very, very helpful. And the one I got was so big, I only needed to eat half of it, and then I ate the other half later. Had two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, one Ensure drink, Gatorade, drink Succeed, which is a powder drink that kind of sustains you for stuff that's longer than 5 to 6 hours. And all that worked out really good, except for when I got home and this was after finishing the 31 miles, I got nauseous, and which was really no surprise because I have vomited probably after every 50K that I've ever done. I remember And it was when I got home. I was by myself, and I was actually kind of laughing because I was like, I can't believe I'm actually vomiting. And so what happened was I put too much in my body for that last 5 miles. But the reason I wanted to stay fueled is because on March 5th, I got to go way past 31 miles. I got to go another 19 plus or minus, depending on really what the true distance of the course is. Because, you know, these ultras, they're not always exact. They're not certified courses. They're, you know, approximate, especially when it's a trail. You know, you got to keep going. So the whole point is to not to be depleted at 31 miles. It's to be in a frame of mind where you can keep going. And of course, you're hurting physically, but mentally, I was fine. So that's why I was laughing when I got home that I actually was getting sick physically, because I wasn't mentally drained at all. In fact, I was pretty fired up from having such a good training run, and 6.5 hours, or just inside 6.5 hours. Is for me is good for the 31 miles, because in an ultra, you're not that, like I was mentioning earlier in the podcast, that 26.2 mile mark, which you kind of base for at least most marathoners and ultra runners. And I'm not knocking marathoners at all, because that's my sport, man. But you know, I always focus on, okay, I want to beat 4.5 hours in the marathon. That's kind of what I always have gone out there trying for, and I've only done it a handful of times. But that's always my mental goal, is to break 4.5 hours. Well, when you're doing an ultra, whether it's a 50K or a 50 miler, and I can speak from experience now, and I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but I've done a lot of them now. That 4.5 hours for a marathon, you got to take that out of your brain, because you're not going to run hard for 26.2 and then try to hang on for another marathon. It just doesn't work. At least it doesn't work that way for me. That's why you walk. For me, I walk early, I walk often, get those walk breaks in there, because you're gonna be walking later anyway. So, you know, when you say 6.5 hours for a 50K, for somebody at my ability level, and that's, this whole podcast is from that perspective. I don't compare myself to anybody that does this professionally. I'm, you know, an ordinary middle of the pack nobody. You know, what do I know anyway, right? But 6.5 hours is good for me for a 50K, and that doesn't mean it's a 5.5 hour marathon, because again, that 26.2 distance is meaningless in a 50K and in a 50 miler, because it's no milestone, there's no split, there's no chip mat, it doesn't mean anything. And but it's hard to get that out of your head, and I kind of proved that to myself the next week, which was just this. Let's see, today is actually the 15th of February, so on February 13th, the week after I did the 50K, I ran 26, and I'll talk about that here in a few minutes, and the reason why I did not go an extra 0.2. So it wasn't really a real hard effort, and what that means is I had a lot of rest time in between. I think I met up with Ashlyn Bryan at 7 a.m., and we did about 4.5 together. Oh, actually, if I recall, I actually met up with Matt and Jeff. Also met us. I'm trying to think. Or was that the week before? It kind of blurs together now when you're doing so many miles. And that was a 51-mile week is what that was when I did the week of the 50K. This past week I did 60, which was a new personal best for weekly mileage, or personal new length, or new high, mileage high. I'm not really sure what the word is. That was what the program called for, and I was actually able to meet all the runs. But it wasn't a hard effort for the 50K, because I had some downtime in between meeting up with people. For example, I did the first loop from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and then met up with Ashlyn Bryan and two other guys, Jeff and Matt, and Tom, another guy named Tom, not Ashlyn Tom, but another fellow named Tom, and we ran their route. And then there was some downtime waiting for them to show up, and then I kept going when they were done. I kept going, obviously, and I started out to the park, and then when I got out there, it was perfect timing because all the ladies showed up. But there was again some downtime. I did a sock and shoe change. Or was that after the trail? It was after the trails because it was a little muddy. So there was, you know, some rest time in between there. But that's what's going to happen on race day. So I don't get all caught up over that. But I think I had the I'm not sure if my Garmin was on auto pause or not, but so I went by clock time. Really, is what I did, and I'm really getting confused here. Where am I at? Okay, so on Monday, the 50K, the homemade 50K was on a Saturday. Sunday, hardly sore at all. I was shocked. I really thought I would get up, be sore, and just have a miserable day. But everything worked out really, you know, really good. But boy, on Monday, I was sore. And I have heard of the delayed, I think it's called DOMS, DOMS or something like that. Delayed onset muscle soreness. And my wife actually laughed at me about that. I think she did. Monica, were you laughing at me? Monica listens to the show now. And every now and then she'll send me an email, even though we live in the same house. I just think that's kind of funny. But I guess that way she makes sure I mention her in the podcast. But she wants me to talk about her more in the podcast, so I probably will. And she did great trail running, by the way. We really had a good time. I think we're going to do – we did it again this past Sunday with Ash and Bob and took the dog. We'll be doing that again before March 5th. But she was laughing at me that I was actually sore on Monday. I think she was laughing at me, but it was real. I mean, every time I got up from my desk at work, it was just, oh gosh, the pain. And you know, I talked to some people at work about what I do with the ultra running, and nobody really understands it. So I really just kind of keep it to myself for the most part, because it's kind of a solo sport. So overall, not a real hard effort because of the rusty, the rest in between, a lot of chit chat. I finished about 12, right before 12:30. The sandwiches and the honey bun were perfect. I didn't really do any gels. I think I might have done one gel, and I do Carb Boom. I like the orange vanilla flavor, and oh, I got to order some more. I got to make a note to do that. The solid food is really what does it when you're going that long, at least for me. I got to have solid food, and it's got to be substantial, not, you know, little couple pretzels here and there. It's got to be like peanut butter and jelly, and I put a whole lot of peanut butter on there, you know what I mean? So it was a really, really good day, and you talk about, you know, flying high after doing that distance, and the shame of it is that I don't get credit for an ultra at all for that. I've done 28 marathons, including, I guess, 7 or 12 ultras. I'm not sure how many of those are ultras. And I did, you know, 50 kilometers on February 6th, but I can't put that in my list anywhere because it's not official. But I did win. I'm the one that won. I came in first place because I was the only one doing it. So let me talk a little bit about the 26-miler, which I did this past weekend. If you're not already bored enough, I had an interesting experience because while I was out running, I started even earlier. I started at 5 a.m. And the reason for that is because I was working I do a side job on Saturdays, generally 2 of the 4 Saturdays, sometimes 3 of the 4 Saturdays of the month. I work a side job at a hospital, and it's usually from 1 to 5. There's some prep time involved, and so I pretty much got to be, you know, leaving the house, dressed and leaving the house by like 12:20 to 12:30, and in order for me to do that, I gotta have some downtime where I can either ice my knees or just chill out with my feet up for a little bit before I go into work. And in order for me to do that and run 26 miles, I needed to start at 5 in the morning. And again, I was breaking it into these 5-mile increments, which I had done the week before. My plan was to kind of copy exactly what I had done the week before because it was very successful, and that's what my goal was. And it was just as cold. It was 19 degrees, I think it was. I have to check. It was actually 23 degrees and windy. Anyway, it was colder for the 26 miles, and the wind was a little bit more than I had thought. So I did the same thing. I was breaking the run down into the 5-mile increments. I had to start at 5 a.m., which means I got up at 4:15. And that's pretty early for a Saturday morning, when because that means your Friday night's affected. And just to be frank about this whole thing, I'm kind of getting tired of these early Saturday morning runs. I've my Friday nights are, you know, I'm upstairs in the bed before 9, and I've always laughed that I get up earlier on the weekends than I do during the week, just so I can do this distance running, because I don't want to be running all, you know, from 10 to 3, because that impacts family time and different activities, and plus I got that side job that I got to do. So the 26 miles was the plan. Again, the same two loops through town, then head on out, and that's what I did. And but I ended up having a glove problem. And Monica was going to meet me at, it's going to be 8 o'clock again out at the park. And Ashton Bob was a maybe. He was going to bring his dog Molly, and then Monica was going to bring Blue. And it was going to be just great. Well, what happened was I did the first loop, refueled, did the second loop, refueled, and then I changed gloves because my hands just sweat so much, just like my feet do. I'm not really sure why. And the wind. So I put on some dry gloves, and that was a big mistake because my hands they weren't really that warm. And I don't know why I put these, they were too thin. And I got about 2 miles from the car, headed out to the park, and I was almost halfway there. Again, the phone was having problems, but I got Monica on the phone. I said, I'm in dire straits right now. I need you to bring, and I have these really thick gloves that actually I got from my uncle when, after he passed, you know, got a lot of his stuff, and I actually got his gloves, these real thick gloves that he used to wear when he walked around in D.C. all the time, because that's where he lived, Washington, D.C. I said, bring me Uncle Joe's gloves. They're in the front cabinet. They're the thickest ones that I have, for the most, that are non-work gloves. And I said, I need you to bring them out here right now. And this was, you know, like 7:20, 7:25. And she was going to be meeting me at 8 o'clock anyway. So she drove right on out to where I was. And I got those gloves on, and that was a total lifesaver. But I was running into kind of a northeast wind. I was running west. I mean, I was running westbound, but the wind was kind of coming from the northwest, and it was just hitting my face, and I was kind of holding my glove up against my face. I should have had some better gear for that. But that saved the day. I mean, my hands were so cold. I was actually contemplating going back to the car, and I was just having weird thoughts going through my head, and my brain was already getting kind of mushy. So I got the thick gloves. I guess I get another mile or two down the road. I get a phone call from Monica, and she says that somebody had hit my car out in front of the house. Now, I'm out on foot at this point, I don't know, close to maybe 4.5 miles away. I'm in the middle of this 26-mile training run. And the car that was hit is actually a car that's issued to me. It's a work car. It's not my personal car. But it ticked me off because the only reason I had it parked in front of the house, and I tucked the side view mirror in because the road is a little bit narrow there, but it's wide enough for three cars. You know, you park on one side. We have a vacant lot, a wooded vacant lot across the street from our house. And we have a curb and sidewalk in front of our house, so it's not, you know, a questionable parking. It's, you know, I'm parked up against the sidewalk. And two cars can pass. It's 25 miles an hour and on the street. I mean, it's a neighborhood. So she says somebody hit the car, and she thought somebody was ringing the doorbell. She was upstairs, and she saw somebody out front, and she saw debris all over the road. And then she said the person left. And I'm thinking, well, you know, call the police out there. I can't come back right now. You know, they'll know what to do. And so the police come, and it's handled. But the only problem is that the police took so long, and I'm not going to complain about that because, you know, you really shouldn't complain about how long it takes the police. They don't dilly-dally when they come out to your place. They usually, you know, sometimes they're working on other calls. But so she didn't show up at 8 o'clock, which was the plan, with a bin of supplies, you know, some dry clothing, because by then I had sweat through. The two inner shirts I was wearing, I was still good to go for I had two jackets. I was still good to go for that, but I wanted to put on dry shirts. And, of course, that was going to be a change of shoes and socks as well because of running on the trails, which was, although it was so cold, believe it or not, there was some mud, some stuff that did not freeze, but it wasn't really an issue. the main point being she was going to bring out more supplies, so she wasn't there at 8 o'clock. Ash and Bob showed up, and but he didn't. All he had was water, which was great because by then I was out. So Bob and I ran for a couple miles, and then Monica showed up and had all my stuff, and I was able to switch out, and then Bob stopped, and then Monica and I ran some more. And the funny thing about all that is the phone cut off again because the battery just can't handle the cold. And again, you folks that live up north, you know, way up in the cold, like Ryan, you live up in Calgary. What do you do when you run outside and it's, you know, in the teens? Because I ran, what was it? The 26-mile run, that was 9 degrees at the start. So I didn't think the phone would work. Ran Sunday morning. I did hand warmers in my thing, and it worked a lot better. But what do you do up when that's your normal temperature? You know, you folks that live way up there. I mean, we're in Virginia. We're not used to the teens or even the single digits for any extended period of time. I mean, that's unusual for around here. And as I say that, we're having our second snowstorm of the season here. There's at least 4 inches on the ground right now, but. So anyway, I forget where I was going with that, but Monica and I ran for a little while longer out at the park with the dog, and my dog Blue and Bob's dog Molly got along just fine, and our dog's a little bit of an asshole, so we were a little worried about that, but everything worked out really good, and boy, we just had a great time. Even though it was cold, we just had a real good time running on the trails. Did I go down? I can't remember if I fell or not. Oh yeah, I did. Of course I did. I knew... Yeah, I think and Bob was right behind me. I did go down. I don't remember when I did exactly, but you know, I was able to get up and recover from that. So finished up. Okay, so here's what happened. Because of Monica and I being able to get out there at 8 because some old guy hit my car. He says the sun was in his. He sideswiped it and dented up the driver's side. So when he opened up the driver's side door, now it makes these horrible noises. I don't know how he said the sun was in his eyes somehow. The sun comes up in the east. The accident took place about 7:45 in the morning. The road we live on is a north-south road, and he was headed northbound. So I'm not really sure how the sun was in his eyes to where he could not see a black Chevy Malibu parked on the side of the road. I don't know. I mean, he was in his 70s. I don't think he was texting, but I wasn't there. He had insurance, so we'll get it all taken care of, but it's just a pain in the ass because I needed that car this week, and now it's going to be at the body shop, and I gotta find a spare. That's a whole separate issue. So that whole thing kind of messed up my you know 5:55:55, and then I was just gonna. But my plan was just to run 25 miles and then just walk the last mile. I ended up running it, but because of the little bit of the mix up with the miles, I finished up running with Monica at the park because she wanted to get in like a good 5 miles on the trail, so she, you know, for a good workout. And she's pissed off that she had to wait at the house anyway. So in order for me to get to 26, I knew where 3 miles was from home. So we got in the car, and she just drove me to where it was 3 miles from home, and I just ran the last 3 miles back to where my car was parked over at the coffee shop. So it worked out really good. And part of me actually thought that why don't I just go another 0.2 mile? It ended up almost perfectly back at the car. I think I had to run like maybe 100 feet past the car and turned around and came back before the Garmin clicked 26. And I wanted to have, you know, 26 on the Garmin because I like to write that on my calendar log and like add up the miles. Because this was a 60-mile week. If I was going to make that 26 and then do the 10-mile recovery run the following day, it was going to be a 60-mile week, which is just really big for me. I mean, I talk a lot about, you know, for my ability level, and that's how I do the podcast. I never run that far. I've done over 50 miles a week, but I've never done 60. And I usually, in the past, my body kind of starts breaking down when I get to 50 miles a week. I can really start to feel how, okay, I'm on the verge of injury here, but I'll keep going, or I'll do a little more walking, or I'll take a day off. This week, I just totally crushed it, and I'll talk about the 10 miler here in a second. But when I got to 26, just a real small thought, a quick thought went through my head, run another 0.2. And that way you'll have back-to-back marathons, you know, week back-to-back marathons for the last 2 weeks. And then I thought to myself, eh, what's the point? I mean, if I wanted to go another .2, I could, because I'm going to on race day. I've already done it, did it the week before. It was pointless because 26.2, again, doesn't have any meaning in an ultra or for ultra training. So I said, you know, screw it. I'm just going to go. I'm stopping at 26, and that's what I'm doing for the training day. Okay, so Sunday morning, I'm able to get Snuggy Bear to come to the center of the universe, and he's going down to Mississippi with me. John Snuggs, listen to the podcast. Been friends with him for several years now. Great running buddy, just a great running companion. Somebody that just can talk, can really talk about anything, and he's funny, and he doesn't give up, and he's pretty tough. So I had to do something at church by 11. So for me to get 10 miles, I kind of needed 2 hours. And I told him, you know, dude, if you can come out here, we'll start at 7, be done by 9. And that gives me some time to chill out, get something to eat. Because once I go to Mass at 11, I'm there till about 1:30 because I teach ninth grade after ninth grade religious ed class after Mass. So I needed some time to get ready for that. So he agreed to come out. And again, it was cold. It was not sure what it was. I think it was in the teens. Got it on my phone here. What I do is I started keeping track. Oh, yeah, it was 9 degrees. 9 degrees Sunday morning. And John came out, and we knocked out the 10 miles like it was nothing. And I got 60 for the week. And just like I said, I'm still flying kind of high on it right now. Today's a non-running day, and then I'll start back tomorrow somehow if this snow melts. So yeah, we talked a little bit about the trip down there and talked a little bit about John's training, and I think he's gonna try to get a long run in. He's coaching a training team, and on Saturday, and this is a total Virginia thing, they actually canceled their running training for Saturday morning because it was too cold. I mean, WTF, right? I can see if there's too much snow or if it's a monsoon rainstorm or something like that, but because it was too cold, what are you going to do on race day if it's cold? You know, are you going to show up? They're not going to cancel the race because it's too cold. People will still come and run. And if you're running in, you know, the teens or single digits, I don't think you're going to get frostbite if you're running. Correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody write in who's something knows medical. If you're actually moving, that's the dryer. Someone needs to do laundry around here. I think if you're moving, I don't know, and if you got gloves on and your gloves are dry, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know if you can get frostbite. But anyway, he said they canceled the run, but I was glad he came out Sunday morning. I think he did his solo. He actually texted me Saturday morning, but I was already gone and I didn't get his message because my phone wasn't working because it was too cold for the phone to work. All right, well, I have talked nonstop for about 38 minutes. We're going to take a look at the email bag section of the show, see who checked in this week. And I do encourage emails, and you can do that at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That gets you kind of in the inner circle there. I do like interacting with listeners on the show over email. You can also go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, scroll down to the right side of the screen, and you can send me an audio message, and you can hear yourself on the podcast if you get a kick out of stuff like that. Feel free to do that. And it doesn't, you can, I think, play it over and erase it if you mess up, so it doesn't send whatever you send. You can't really edit it, but you can, I think you can delete it and start over. So please consider that if you want to comment on the show or have a question or you want to comment on something I've talked about. A couple listeners have done that over the years. It's a pretty cool feature. It just sends me the audio clip and then I can listen to it, and it's cool to include some of that stuff in the show, as long as, you know, don't go on for 3, 4, 5 minutes. You know, I might have to edit that a little bit, but feel free to do that. That's at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And then, of course, at ashlanddave@gmail.com. So let's check out the email bag section of the show. All right, heard from Adam, and he hails out of Minnesota, I believe. He sent in a race report from the Indianapolis Marathon. It's called the Indianapolis Monumental Marathon. He ran it back in November. Ran a 4:08, which is outstanding. And He says that Indianapolis is just a beautiful, beautiful city. He said it's got a bit of an industrial look to it, but built into the land, into the landscape, there's plenty of trees, grass. It's very clean. He said the people are friendly, very accommodating. It was a seventh marathon in his seventh state. He's got a goal to run all 50 states, and he said the weather was perfect. High 30s to low 40s at the beginning. The ending time was kind of in the low 50s, high 40s. Great scenery. He says apparently the Twin Cities Marathon calls itself the most beautiful urban marathon, but he thinks that the Indianapolis Monumental Marathon has them beat. He said there was lots of people out cheering in Indianapolis, but fewer and further in between than when he ran Twin Cities. I think Twin Cities was the one he ran before. He said that some of the water stop locations weren't really that thought out. He doesn't walk through the water stops. For some reason, they put according to his email, the locations of them were kind of in these bottleneck areas. He called them makeshift choke points, where runners were actually tripping over one another trying to get through the stops. He says a lot of people do walk through the water stops, but he doesn't, so it was frustrating to not have the room to pass people. And he says he was on a condensed training plan for this one, which caused him to run the 408. Usually he runs faster, and he only had 12 weeks to train. I still think a 408 is really good because that's a lot quicker than I can do, so I like the 408. But his next one's in Salt Lake City in April, and he'll let me know how it goes. And then he did send me a quote from Thomas Edison about my DNF, and he says, he's paraphrasing, you did not fail, you just learned another way not to do it. And it says, as long as you learn something from the experience, you have not failed. As always, thanks for the great content. Stay safe, Adam. Appreciate that, Adam. I responded back to you at length. I feel like you deserved that. He sent me a real nice email, and I appreciate that race report. And you've been listening to the show for a long time, so I really do appreciate the support over the years. I heard from Thomas. We talked a little bit about old school. He sent in saying in one of the last show, if you listened, I had somebody make fun of me for my Garmin because it was kind of an old school Garmin. It's not the type that Ashlyn Bryan uses that actually has batteries in it. That's really old school. Mine at least is rechargeable. But Thomas uses the Garmin 310 XT. He says it's big and clunky, but that's what he wants. Big face, big numbers. He uses it for running and on the bike, and he got it from eBay for $60. It was a return item from some sports store. He says, I'm old school, but I know what I like. And I was like, yeah, man, old school rocks. And here, let me just say another thing about the Garmin. And Thomas, thanks for the email. Thomas is another longtime listener to the show, and I always appreciate hearing from him. He's always got something good to say about stuff. For the 26 miler that I did just a few days ago, I actually changed the data fields on the Garmin so the distance is the biggest data field because I've been having trouble seeing it. I don't have to wear glasses all the time, but I wear them for reading and they are prescription. I actually went to the eye doctor because I might have talked about this already last year in the podcast, I'm not sure, but I'll just briefly mention it again. Over the course of about 6 months, I noticed my eyes eye strength changing drastically when I would work on my computer or I wasn't able to read the newspaper in my magic chair. I'd have to actually get under some real bright light. Oh, you don't know what my magic chair is? Oh, I'll talk about that in another podcast. Some people out there know what my magic chair is. And certainly my wife, Monica, knows what my magic chair is. So, all guys out there should have a magic chair. But so I went to the eye doctor and I got some prescription glasses to wear. I don't need to wear glasses when I'm driving, but just mainly when I'm working on the computer or looking at my phone or reading the newspaper or book or whatever. And that kind of bled over to I couldn't even see the Garmin. That's why I don't like looking at the history on the Garmin because the numbers are so small. I almost need a magnifying glass to look at it. So I made the distance, the data field, I only use three data fields. I like time of day, like the time of the run, and then the distance. Those are the three data fields that I like. I don't care about average pace anymore because I kind of work it out in my head. But those are the three data fields that I like. So I went ahead and moved the distance to the biggest data field so I can see that when I glanced down, because I'd been noticing over the last few weeks when I'd had, because the time of the run had been in the biggest data field. And that's meaning less and less to me now that I'm not going to say I'm pretty sure I'll make the 12-hour cut because I don't know what the course is like. But based on running 31 miles in 6.5 hours, I think I'm going to probably be okay if the course allows me to do it. But so I've changed those data fields, and that's why I like that big clunky Garmin. My dad had given me some hand-me-down Garmins over the years, the newer style. But the numbers, the ones that look more like a regular watch, and to me they're just too small. And I don't mind the big clunky stuff. It doesn't really get in the way. So Thomas, that's I appreciate that email. That's what made me think about it. Heard from Patrick out of Williamsburg, Virginia, and he's been listening a long time. Patrick, I really do appreciate the email. I hadn't heard from you in a long time, and I'm glad you're still listening. And he's got a real busy spring planned with several races, including the Ragnar Tree Relay in Richmond. And I think that's the one in Pocahontas State Park. I'm not sure. He says it's a vanless relay. Should be fun. That's the one where everybody's on the course. It's not a... the point-to-points, looping. He says he's been thinking about the app versus Garmin conundrum you mentioned. I'm not sure if I brought this email up already. Let me think. Let me look at this. I'm sorry, Patrick. I'm not sure if I talked about your email or not. Actually, I have talked about his email already. Sorry, Patrick. You can tell this is an amateur podcast because I... I forgot that I mentioned his email in the last show, and he did send me an article about the difference between that MapMyRun app versus the Garmin. We talked a little bit about the GPS measurement, triangulation technology across the cell network. Sorry about that, Patrick, but feel free to write into the show again. It'd be great to hear from you. And that's Patrick out of Williamsburg, fellow runner from the Old Dominion here. So thank you for the email. And that is the email bag section of the show for this week. I will be back in hopefully 2 weeks or less with another podcast. My 50 mile is on March 5th. So that is pretty much all I'm thinking about at this point in time. Every training run is focused on that. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed that the weather is such that the course is not a mud fest, which just mentally gets me down. But if I can go in there really mentally upbeat, I've covered that distance before, hopefully nothing will stop me, so it remains to be seen. And we'll be heading down there with Snuggy Bear, and actually my father is going to be flying down with us, and he's going to kind of act as a crew, and I got to give him some crew instructions. So, well, I'd like to thank you for listening to the show if you made it this far, and sorry about a little goofiness there in the email bag, but I need to get my secretary to do some better filing with all the email that I get that's in the email bag. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week and get those training runs in. Take care.